Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today, September 10th, 2020. How's everybody doing now that Mars is in retrograde motion? He's actually made that change. He's now heading backwards through the zodiac from 28 degrees of Aries backwards to 15 eventually, but that won't be, of course, until November 14th. So for the next 10 weeks, what do we do? Well, just for you, I created yesterday an ebook on Mars retrograde, what we can do to thrive during the retrograde. I have already put it up on my Facebook page, the Living Astrology Facebook page. So if you want to, you can go to that and click on the link, download it to your own laptop or device of any kind, and be able to read that and remind yourself throughout the next 10 weeks about what is happening in the stars above. I will also put that or post that for those of you who listen to me via podcast. I will also put that in the description box of the YouTube video later today, so you can go and get that. I wonder if I can do that. I'll try to put it in the body of the blog talk episode as well for those of you who listen via podcast. All right. It's free, right? It's free. But guess what happened yesterday? So this, I was very uber aware yesterday, as all of you probably should have been, about what it was that was happening before Mars went retrograde, which didn't happen until 3:43 p.m. I think it was yesterday afternoon. Let me get the exact time Mars went retrograde. 3:08 p.m. So I was very aware of like, what's going on? What are the actions? What seems to be opening up? What seems to be shutting down? That kind of thing. So, because that's how we know, right? What are these next 10 weeks going to bring? So I was having trouble trying to figure out how to get the ebook delivered to you all in the most expeditious way, the easiest way. And everything I was trying to do just wasn't working. So I was getting frustrated. Ha, keyword, frustration. And so I stopped. Right? I stopped and just said, okay, this is not the right thing that I'm doing. What is it that I need to do? And I went, oh, I have a friend down the street here who's really good at editing, proofreading, WordPress, and making websites and figuring websites out. So I called Amy and I said, Amy, can you help me? And as luck would have it, or as providence would have it, she had time in her day right at that moment to jump on Zoom with me and help me through what was this tangle of, I don't know what to do next kind of thing. And at the end of the conversation, she says to me, oh, by the way, would you like to learn how to put that up on Kindle? What? So I actually loaded up my first ever book onto Kindle yesterday. My own book, the Energy Almanac, and the fact that I'm an author and the Energy Almanac was already there on Amazon. But now I have my own Mars retrograde book. Don't go there to get it though, because you'll have to pay for it. Go to my Living Astrology Facebook page and get it, or get it from the description below here. Or if you feel like supporting me with 99-cent deal, you can do that certainly. I only did that because I wanted to experience how that works. Why? Because likely that's a direction that's opening up for me. It wouldn't have been in my face yesterday if it wasn't for something that I was supposed to pay attention to. So I love it when you just sort of watch and listen and stay open to what is going on around you. Miracles can happen, or magic can happen, right? That's what I like to say, magic. Let's say good morning to everybody before I dive in. Good morning, J-Lo and Tom and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Debbie, I hope you're doing better today, and I hope your puppy dog is okay. Asa, good morning, and Jen Lack, good morning, and she says it's a much better morning. Awesome. Augustina, hello to you, sweetheart, and Loanne, good morning. Thank you very much. I asked my husband that before I went live. Does my hair look okay? Because I felt like it was just like big. Big hair, like I went back to the 80s or 90s. But thank you very much. Ursula, good morning to you. And Suzette, good morning. New, I love it that you're able to join us again. And Kimberly, good morning. And Amy, Ursula says that's very generous of you. It is what I promised you all I would do. And I can't believe how quickly and easily I was able to deliver it yesterday. It was amazing. because it just, it was the right thing. It's amazing when you're in the right flow, what happens? Like, it's just like somebody else wrote it for me, like, but using my hands on my keyboard. It's kind of fun. Sylvester, good morning. Grand rising, lovely people, sending positive vibes. Hope everyone is having a wonderful day. Amy Energy, good morning to you. I don't remember if I said that. Courtney, hello. Pauline, good morning to you. I had already set up a Kindle, a KDP account, KDP, Kindle something something. Kindle Direct Publishing, that's what it stands for. Because at one point, about 3 years ago, I was going to become an author. I was going to write. And I was taking classes at self-publishing school. And I set up the KDP so that the book that I would write through the program, I would put up on Kindle. Only I never finished the program. Like, it wasn't the right quite timing. I don't know what it was. But so I was already prepared. It was all there. It was so weird. Like, okay. And we're going to talk a lot about right timing today. Interesting segue as we are looking at a week of really being aware of what is in the right timing versus when we are pushing our way into something. And Amanda J, good morning. Tati, good morning. Christine Buckingham, great to see you. I'm going to switch back now over to Zoom so I'm not so tempted to chit chat with everybody. So now today we are going to take a look at the moon in Gemini again today, later this afternoon or this evening, actually 9:48 p.m. my time. So this will actually be, for those of you on the East Coast, completely in the very early morning hours tomorrow morning. The moon will go into the void in preparation for her move into the next sign, Cancer, where the energy will again change up from the more chatty Cathy energies of Gemini to the more emotional, nurturing, let's stay home and cuddle energies of Cancer. And today we have, you know, a couple of really maybe scritchy, let's call them scritchy, my favorite word, that's sort of like itchy, irritation kind of energies with the moon squaring the sun and Neptune. We'll talk a bit about what that is. And today we also have a minor square. It's a sesquiquadrate. That's such a long word, but Venus is in a sesquiquadrate relationship to the planet Neptune. Mercury is in an opposition to Chiron, or building up to that for this afternoon. So we'll talk about that, as well as the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. And I've also gone into some detail for you about the Human Design Week, which is something I meant to get to yesterday, but the time got away from me. So let's start there, shall we? I am going to share a graphic on my screen right now that is going to show you what is the energy of the day. First of all, get it there on the screen, and let me share. Okay, so as you know, the sun is now moved into the gate 47, and the Earth is sitting at the gate 22, along with Neptune, right? Neptune is also at gate 22. And so what we have is a week about timing, about being able to speak in the right timing, about thinking about the right thing at the right time, listening deeply, having those epiphany type moments that can only happen in the right time. Because, you know, if you're trying to push something, you're never going to get the epiphany. And unfortunately, with the sun at gate 47, which is called literally the gate of epiphany, in other human design books, you will see it called the gate of oppression. But I kind of like the epiphany idea. It is all about sitting back and waiting for the right timing for your thoughts to clear up and for the awareness to sort of come. And it comes in a very epiphany-like or aha moment when suddenly everything gets clear, right? Where you've got the right plan, you know, the right steps to take, the right people are there. So everything at the sun in gate 47 is about timing as well, sort of underneath the surface. So you have to, we're all going to be asked to sit back and just trust that the aha moment will happen in the universe's time, right? In the right time, in the right divine timing, I guess you could say. Now, if we look at the sun at gate 47 in the Gene Keys, you see the shadow is oppression. And oppression is more about that mental anxiety that we get into when we keep thinking and thinking and we feel the weight of something that we're trying to figure out and our mind just doesn't go there, right? It won't figure it out for us. It is the question, how, right? How is this going to happen? How can I make this happen? Blah, 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 right? It's all about trying to figure things out, which then creates anxiety from mental pressure. And if we keep doing that, the answer to the question or the instructions to the confused energy that's up in your mind won't come, right? The more you push, the more you try to figure things out, the less likely you're going to find the answer. But the moment you sit back and you just like, okay, I'm done. Like I did yesterday, actually, now that I think about it, it was the perfect thing yesterday when I couldn't figure out how to get the Mars retrograde ebook up on my site or up on my Facebook page. It just looked terrible. I just relaxed and just sat back until I had that aha moment about call Amy. Amy will know. And Amy was available and Amy did know, and she knew more than what I thought she would know. And we went down this track of some real success. So trusting, right? Trusting that there's a higher power at work. And the more that you try to push, the more elusive whatever it is you're trying to get becomes. So there we have that. Now the Earth, of course, sitting at the gate 22, the gate of grace. And this is the emotional solar plexus. In a moment, I'm going to show you this, the human design chart of the moment, so you can see what it looks like there. The gate 22, Neptune has been sitting here already for a while. The sun, or the north node, excuse me, is at the gate 12 opposite of it. So we have the entire channel of openness defined for all of us right now. So we're all receivers of divine guidance and transmitting that down the channel of openness to the solar plexus, where we can align then our emotions, our heart, our feelings with our minds. So this is about emotional openness through listening with grace and charm. I actually called this emotional openness and listening plus social grace and charm plus the right mood in the right timing equals the gift of grace, right? Being able to speak words of encouragement and empowerment to people that is just being sort of channeled in from God or source or cosmos in just the right way so that the person receives your wisdom and they become empowered and encouraged in, again, the right timing. By the way, at the gate 47, the sun, it is like the jigsaw puzzle, right? The pieces of the puzzle coming together in the right timing. I meant to say that. So rather than forcing things to try to happen with your mind, relax and just let the puzzle pieces come together. The gate 22 with the Earth is challenging us again to recognize our emotional field, right? What are you feeling? And if you're not feeling so positive or happy or encouraged or empowered yourself, attempting to empower others is not going to happen, right? Again, you wait for the right timing because the mood again will shift. All right. So I'm going to stop sharing this one and I'm going to go to my other graphic here and show you what the human design chart looks like at the moment. And by the way, I get this from jovianarchive.com. And under the tab that says resources, you drop down that menu and it says Just Now Chart. So you can always go there and get the Just Now Chart so you too can see exactly what's happening. And then you can take that chart and compare it to your own human design chart and see what's happening for you personally today, right? What's being completed for you today that wasn't completed for you yesterday, that kind of thing. All right, so if we take a look here at the head and the ajna, you see it's defined because we have Pluto, Saturn up here at the gate 61, the gate of psychosis. with the, let's see, what was that 24? It's Uranus sitting at 24, and that's completing the entire channel of rationalization. We are needing to look at everything that's going on in our mind and become inspired to move beyond psychosis into the more magical thinking. Magical realism, I think, is how I like to look at this particular channel, where we are creating this new reality, right, in magical ways. So that's defined. That turns these two centers on, right, because something's at this gate, something's at 24, that creates the whole channel. But the energy of the week is hanging, right? The gate 47, the sun is hanging here. Now, if you have a hanging gate 64 in your own chart, and if it's hanging, it'll just be halfway across from the 64 down. Suddenly this week, you have that whole channel of the process of confusion clearing up through epiphany. And for others like me, for example, this gate 47 is just hanging here, so that my personal epiphany will come probably through another person who will fill in that gap for me, as it happened yesterday. I should have looked at Amy's human design chart before I even said that. I bet she has the 64 or the whole channel 64-47, or in some way we were able to complete each other so that we could get where I needed to go, which was fabulous. The Earth sitting at gate 22 is down here on the solar plexus. Here's 22. So we have Neptune and the Earth sitting here. If you look here, you see Earth 22. Down a little further, you see Neptune, gate 22. They are sitting, for all intents and purposes, in a conjunction, right? So the Earth and Neptune in a conjunction. And later tomorrow, you're going to see that the sun then opposes both the Earth and Neptune from that particular place, not physically, but in an energetic way. Okay, now, so 47, 22. The other thing I wanted to talk about this morning wasn't just about the sun and the Earth. I wanted to look at where Mars is on the chart, or where Mars retrograde is on the chart. And if you look down here, let me see if I can annotate the correct way here today. Sometimes I can and sometimes I can't, but let's see what happens. Here we go. There's our gate 3, which is on the sacral center, heading downward toward the root center. And it is the gate of difficulty in the beginning. So Mars is here again, prompting us to right timing, right here. This whole gate channel of this week is all about this timing idea. So waiting for the right moment, then mutation occurs, change happens, innovation dawns on you. And that is pretty much what this gate 3 is about. It's patience required energy. It is chaos in the shadow energy. It is innovation in the gift energy, and it is innocence in the highest expression, the Siddhi. And again, it's about timing for the right structures to be there to support that mutation, right? It would be like in the 1400s, early 1500s, when Da Vinci was drawing all those magical drawings of helicopters or what looked like airplanes or UFOs and all these different kinds of things that he drew, that there was not the structure or the form yet to support the bringing in of that idea. And that didn't happen for a couple of hundred years after that, right? Several hundred years. But the point was that in right timing, those ideas become reality. So now it's not always going to be a 400 or 500, 600 year gap before things happen, although it could be. I mean, there might be people right now generating ideas that are so far ahead that, you know, we can't even fathom how they might happen. But in your own personal life right now, what things are sort of building up? What kind of mutation appears to be happening for you personally, but also what happens to be changing in our social structures? And I'm going to show you an awesome example of what's changing in our social structure right now. So mutation is, again, right timing, right? The structures have to be in place, the bones, right? The foundation has to be there before it will support the energy of this particular change. And when the change is ready, I should say when the mutation is ready, same word, I guess, then the aura that the person is exuding will spill outward from them to the right people in the right timing to bring these things into change or into a status of that mutation. So it's really kind of exciting energy. And again, it's also a little bit out of our hands sometimes. This is energetically linked to mutation and evolution, your DNA, right? So this channel is often someone if you have this whole channel 360 in your natal chart, you're often holding the seeds of some kind of mutation that you pass on to your progeny, who then pass it on to theirs. And you can see that that can be something that is always happening, right? With, you know, any species who procreates, the very changes in the DNA happen in the parent and get changed and given passed on to progeny. Then eventually the whole of the species has it available to them. That's sort of waxing biological and scientific, but you get the idea. Now, I want to show you an example, a great example. Nope, I don't want that. A great example this morning of, where did I put it? Ah, here we go. So you guys remember months ago, maybe even a year ago, I talked about the Good News Network, right? Because we were getting tired of hearing about all the bad news. So hopefully you all have been to this station or to this website. It's called goodnewsnetwork.org, and you can sign up to receive, you know, a daily good news message. And this was the message today. Someone decided to take old apartment or old hotels and motels and to turn them into innovative, affordable housing, including amenities. Like, let's not just make them these, you know, poor places for people to live. This is happening in Branson, Missouri, an old Days Inn hotel that had been vacant for 8 years, found new life, and has been given a noble purpose. And it is a construction company that bought the property and decided to turn these units into affordable apartments that, you know, hits in a range where most people who get lost, right? The people that get caught in the middle, the ones that don't make low enough income that they are eligible for housing assistance, and the people who make enough money to pay for housing without a problem, there's this group, right? So they decided to create these affordable one-bedroom apartments, I think studios too, for between $495 and $695 a month, which, as they say, is a sweet spot in terms of income brackets where the individual might not make enough money for normal housing, but not yet qualify for assistance. So we have this social dynamic that's already changing, right? And instead of taking and rebuilding apartments on space, using up more land, take the existing structures that we have and turn them into apartments or housing for that bracket, right? Those people that might be living on the streets because they can't afford to do it any other way. I love it. And I got to tell you, this also happened in my own experience with a woman in New Mexico who bought up an old apartment complex, and she turned it into housing for homeless vets. And in the project was a two-person apartment. So they were two bedrooms. So each person had their own room. And there was a cleaning service that would come in and make sure that the house was always clean. They had a common food area. So they turned the rec room into like a dining hall. So the men could always come in at mealtime and get a meal, right? Something warm, something nutritious for them to eat. And then they could live their lives. And I mean, there were rules in place, security there. So it was very, very, they could not be drug addicts. If they had that kind of an issue, then they were going to need to have, you know, some counseling before they could move in. It was pretty neat. And those kind of ideas are part of what I think this Gate 3 is about. Innovation, right? Thinking outside of the box, using what we have perhaps in a new way. So it's pretty exciting, I think, to see these kinds of transits, even if it is Mars in retrograde at the moment, kind of bringing us to a pause where we can revisit some of these ideas, right? Where we can sort of hop on this bus change, this change bus, and make some kind of conscious choices in the world that are supportive of everyone. So I haven't seen any comments yet from Asa, have I? Did I miss any? Nope. Okay, so let me take a look then at comments and see how people are feeling about these ideas, about this energy. Christine says, synchronicities. Gotta love those. Adrian, good morning. Monique, good morning. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Courtney Menard, my Virgo moon makes me overthink too. Yes. Allison, good morning. She's late but made it. Andy girl, good morning. And you are all silent. What the heck? either you're just so enthralled with what I'm saying, or you're totally understanding what I'm saying. Allison D, my moon is at 3 by design. There you have it. So a life purpose that might include this kind of mutation and change in your own life, but in the right timing, right? You can't force it to happen. That's the big lesson. Okay, now let's take a look at our astrology for the day. Since we are looking at the last day of the moon in Gemini, it is a day for conversation, for being able to write, speak, be sociable, get out there if you can and chat with people, find out what people are up to, that kind of thing. This afternoon, the moon will come into a square with the sun. We've reached our crisis of consciousness point. Actually, I think that it's happening right now when the sun is at later degrees, or the moon and the sun are in the later degrees. That square causes us to address any unconscious, or maybe they're in your conscious mind, maybe you're even aware of them now, of the blocks that are showing up to your creating a pathway toward your intentions for getting what you desire. Remember, we talked about too yesterday with Mars turning retrograde, it was a time perhaps for us to reevaluate what we thought we wanted, what we think we want, and really look and see if it's not happening for you. Is there a reason, right? Is the universe really protecting you in some way from a pathway toward destruction? Who knows, right? We don't always know. But if we stay in the flow of the universe, the right thing will happen, again, in the right timing. That's what all of the energy this week is about. And the same thing in astrology here. What we're seeing is that square causes us to look at what's popping up in our unconscious mind or in our conscious mind. And what is it our thoughts are doing when we are presented with a challenge? What our feelings are doing when we're presented with a challenge? Are we reverting to old patterns, right? Is there something that's caught up in the matrix that we need to release, right? Let go of, to take our power back for. So the crisis of consciousness says, don't give up, right? Challenge your old patterns. Challenge that old thinking. Challenge those old beliefs and those old ideas. Don't let them just take and cause you to stop what you're doing. Challenge it. Ask the universe, is there a better way to do this than what I've been doing? Is there a better path that I'm meant to be on than the path that I've been on? Ask those questions of the universe and you will receive answers in right timing. There's the caveat, right? Right timing. Now, there's also a square to Neptune today, and that can muddle up our emotions, muddle up our thoughts. Things might be cloudy in our minds where we can't quite get the right answer. Maybe we can't even get to the right question. If so, just don't play with it. Just let it go, right? The right things will happen. The things will clear up. Avoid any long-term commitments then today, because it's not going to be a great day to do that. Short-term maybe, but if you do not have clarity, why make a long-term commitment to something? Because you're not seeing all the data yet. You're not seeing all the facets of what it is that is coming up for you. Then we also have a sextile to Mars today from the moon. So the moon in Gemini, sextile Mars in Aries. And this is what I call the fire in the belly energy. It is the wind beneath my wings, Gemini air, fire from Mars and Aries. So we really want to roll. And we may be a little bit frustrated with this kind of thing because the energy of Mars is retrograde. So we're much, much better off reevaluating our plans and our goals, really looking at the foundation of something that we're trying to build and making sure we are not, you know, putting out a product that's got holes in it, or that we're about to embark on something with a foundation built on sand. So really being aware, this energy is revving, right? It wants to go, but there's that, you know, brake that's also there, the foot on the gas, the foot on the brake. So do what you can today. Look at what's opened up for you instead of what's shut down, and go in that direction, right? Use this as creative energy. All right. Now, Venus, I also told you, was in a sesquiquadrate. It's a sort of a square plus a half a square, a 135 degree relationship between the planets. And that means it is tension filled, perhaps. The tension here between Venus and Neptune always reminds me of seduction. And I don't mean sexual seduction, I mean things that just kind of call to you, like the siren song, you know, trying to bring you in a direction, pushing you somewhere, causing you to believe and to even see things that might not be true, right? That are not there. And then we are glossing over what's reality so that we don't see that in the moment because we're so wanting to see what we want to see, right? And this can happen both toward the positive, where we really want to see that that person is the absolute person for us, or on the other side, where we can't see that the person in front of us is the absolute right person for us. Right. So, or the opportunity, et cetera. So what we might be seeing might not be true. And what we refuse to take a look at might be what is true. So today's kind of a hard day to actually come down on any one side or another. So hold on to any major decisions in finances because Venus rules finances, in also in relationships, right? Don't make any big changes until that fog bank clears. This is a short term kind of relationship. Venus will move on in a day or two. That energy will be very much clearer than it is today. It's kind of like here in the Pacific Northwest, it's kind of cloudy, not really cloudy, it's smoky, right? So we have an air quality alert. So, like, I can't even, the water is right outside my window here. I can't even see it, right? Because it's just so smoky, weird. And that will clear, right? Eventually, the weather pattern will shift, the winds will change direction, and all of that will change. But for right now, it isn't clear. So, certainly, that's how we are all kind of thinking in the moment. Mercury will also come into an opposition to Chiron later this afternoon into the evening. That brings up an element of uncertainty, right? Mercury is our thoughts and our communication. Chiron is in Aries. There's a lot of energy there already by other planets. So there's also some uncertainty being triggered there by we're not certain what direction to go in. Where is it that we can move? What is it that I can do right now? Is it time to wait? Is it time to move? So this kind of uncertainty is hanging around us. If we focus too much on the negative or what we don't want, then we are actually energizing that to us during this period. That's sort of a reminder from yesterday, right, where we had Kowalyak as the or the energy of what was it yesterday? Kowalyak. Well, I can't remember what it was, where if we focused our thoughts, now it's going to bug me, so I'm going to have to find it. Sorry. Hold on 1 second. Oh, see, brain fog already happening yesterday. Catalyzing, duh. Catalyzing energy yesterday, where we were having to be very careful about what we focused our thoughts on because things were happening, were catalyzed into action very quickly. So we had to mind our thoughts, mind our words, right? What you said and what you were thinking could happen very quickly. Today's Mercury across from Chiron sort of mirrors that same thing. Watch out for misrepresenting yourself or your skills or what you think you can do. Don't over exaggerate anything because eventually that will become exposed, right? You'll either fail miserably and then beat yourself up for it, or another person will seemingly criticize your work or criticize you. It can be a painful experience, right? When you think you can do something and then you find out you can't. So speak truth, right? Speak truth. If you don't know for sure if you can do something, the most honest thing you can say is, I don't know if I can do this, but I will try. I will give it my best. That's the honest truth, right? So speaking truth, don't allowing yourself to focus on the negative and understanding that there's an element of uncertainty out there all around us right now. Okay. Our plea, I'm speaking fast. Hopefully, you guys are getting this because I know today's Thursday and I also want to get to some readings for people. So, forgive me if I move along quickly. Asa will alert me if there are questions and she hasn't yet. So, this is pretty awesome. And I better clear that out so I do see them. And all right, let's look at today's Pleiadian energy. By the way, 1 week from today, I can't even believe it, but 1 week from today, Pia Orleans and Colin Baird Smith will be with me here in the morning. They are the authors of the Pleiadian Earth Astrology and the Calendar, and they'll be here to tell us about the 2021 calendar, how you can get your copy, a book that she's just recently written, and hopefully she will be able to help us clear up this idea of the person of the collective shadow period that we're moving into next week, and what that does that mean for us, that kind of thing. So I'm really excited to have them here. They will be here right at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's not, you don't have to do anything different than usual. Just be here as you're at your usual time, and they will be sitting, well, they'll look like they're sitting next to me, but it'll be a split screen because they actually live in Cyprus. So they're not even here in this country. They couldn't sit by me even if they wanted to, but maybe they could. Maybe they've learned how to shapeshift yet and time travel. That would be awesome. Okay, so today's energy in the Pleiadian is 3 and lightning. And lightning energy was Ahau in the Mayan calendar. It is the very last of the 20 earth signs, and it means that we're coming to some form of completion. The 3, the universal energy of the day, is about creativity, creation energy. It is the creative energy that begins to move and flow. So in the 1, we initiated something. In the 2, we saw it from a different perspective. In the 3, we begin to be able to mobilize our thoughts and our intentions around something for creative purposes. So we have our intentions becoming visible. And it's funny, I have this piece of paper sitting, I can't see it now because my computer's in the way. I have this piece of paper right in front of me that were these 3 major intentions that I set, I believe, back at the summer solstice, for what I wanted to achieve before the end of the year. And I just happened to take a look at those this morning and went, wow, I'm well on my way. So here's where you start to see on a day like today, the power of those intentions and how they've been manifesting in your life. So what we think and what our thoughts were at the moment we were initiating something is what's most important. Right? If you go into something with fear, then that's sort of spreading all the way through the process of creating. And that is then somehow bringing a shadow to the work, right? Whatever it is that you decided you were going to do. So when you set intentions, you need to make sure very clearly that your mind is, you know, open, that you may still feel fear anyway. Some of us, we feel fear, but we can acknowledge that fear, but not let it stop us, right? Not let it taint our thinking processes while we're setting that intention. So today reminds us of that, the 3 energy. Enlightening energy is about achieving multiple perspectives at one time, being able to see the multiverse, if you will, how we all fit together in this great cosmic puzzle, and being able to value that, to be able to see from that higher perspective, from the lower perspective, from the middle perspective, all at one time. It lifts today is a day to lift the consciousness of humanity, right? To be able to see that social progress is possible. I just showed you that, right? With the renovation of the hotel into affordable housing. And that's something, you know, possible, right? A possible social progress that we're making when we begin to really think outside of the box and the usual way of thinking. So today brings us that opportunity for social progress. Yay, I've reached the end of what I needed to say today. So I was going to read, and I may yet, let's see here, Asa, my dear. Let me look here first before I say what I want to say. Allison says, Janet, when I looked on Astro, the transit says true node with a D. Does that mean direct? Yes, it does, Allison. Now, the nodes wobble. They don't go, because like the moon, they're attached to the moon, they sort of wobble, right? They do this sort of circuitous little thing. So they're direct and then they're not, then they're retrograde, then they're not. And this sort of is what characterizes the North Node. So for instance, when I was born with my North Node at 29 degrees of Leo, but people born just a couple of days before me, or a couple of weeks before me, had their North Node in Virgo. but it was wobbling, right? It was wobbling. So we always go with the true node, but we also look, especially when it's at a 29th degree like that, we look at both. But right now it's just saying that it's in direct motion. Tomorrow it could turn retrograde again. So they wobble. So we don't really take it like a real retrograde or a real direct motion. We just know that those nodes do that little dance, the little wobble. Suzette, Dears, speaking about nodes, maybe now is the right timing. I had that question on the nodes that are in opposition of my natal nodes, the north node in Sagittarius, 24 degrees. So, and the south node in Gemini. So you're exactly opposite of what the transiting nodes are, because right now it is the north node that's in Gemini and it is the south node that is in Sagittarius. So what you're saying then, Suzette, is that the south node, your the south the tra the transiting south node is sitting on your natal north node. Did I say that right? Yep. And then the north node transiting is sitting on your natal south node. So you're at the halfway point of a cycle. That's essentially what this is all about. So approximately 9 years ago, you began a new cycle towards your destiny. This is a check-in point, right? This is a portal. You're turning the corner. What was it that you were, what was in your major focus 9 years ago, right? 9 years ago would have put us in 2011. Yeah, 2011. What was going on there when you had, was it 2011? Yeah. So what was going on then that relates to your transit now, right? So it's the possible turning point for you in how you were expressing your destiny. Look to the houses that that's in for yourself. That will tell you, you know, what direction. Look at the north node for yourself in Sagittarius and what house that's in. That is the direction you're meant to be moving. And right now, the south node sitting there is checking in with you. Are you still doing things the old way? Or have you made that transition into doing things the new way? All right. Hopefully that helps. Allison says, thank you, Asa. I'm not sure. Oh, okay, because I answered that question. I hope that helps. And there you go. All right, so now I'm going to read the beautiful wisdom stories. And while I'm doing that, five of you are going to get chosen by Asa to have a reading today, either an astrology or human design reading, possibly, or an oracle card reading. So, Asa, I'm going to task you with perhaps choosing people who haven't had a reading or are new, or people who haven't had one in a while. I know that's sometimes hard to figure out, but we're being choosy here because of time constraints here. Now, this is where the sun is today. It is at the gate 47. Hold on while I go back to Zoom itself. The gate 47 is transmutation. So here's our lovely face for the gate 47 or the gene key 47. Those are interchangeable terms for those of you who know about the gene keys. And let's see what our wisdom story is all about. So at the gate 47, we have the shadow of oppression. The gift is transmutation, and the highest expression is transfiguration. The only way to transcend suffering is to move more deeply into it, embracing every feeling and event that comes to you. Here's the wisdom story. And by the way, this is from the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, The 64 Faces of Awakening by Rosie Aronson, PhD. All right. I had a recurring nightmare as a child. It always ended with a bearded man hovering over me with a giant blade as I guarded something behind my back. I always woke up screaming just before the blade touched my chest. My father was a weak and quiet man. He didn't speak of his oppressive family past or believe in much of anything. My mother was a woman who religiously embraced the dogma of the church. Convinced a negative entity was attached to her daughter, she dragged me to church. For years, I prayed for forgiveness and to be rid of the evil, but the nightmare only intensified. By the time I was a young woman, I avoided sleep at all costs. One night, I was so overcome with hopelessness that I broke down in front of my father, finally sharing the dream with him. He became strangely curious, as if he needed to know more. His surprising response awakened a curiosity and courage in me. That night, I willingly went to sleep. Though I still awoke before the knife fell, I was able to retrieve more information. The next night, the same happened, then the next. It got to a point where I could enter the dream at will, like a sleuth, always leaving seconds before my murder. My father hungered for each new detail that came through. It was as if the two of us were assembling pieces from an ancient puzzle. One night, I detected faint lettering on the bearded man's belt. I drew the three letters for my father. He ran to his room and rushed back with an old book full of Nordic symbols given to him by the grandfather he'd never mentioned. Immediately, we saw the meaning of the three symbols: journey, gift, and joy. I'd never seen my father's eyes glow like that. I couldn't wait to go to sleep that night. This time, I let the dagger plunge into my heart. There was no blood, no pain, just radiant light filling my chest. Turning to face what I'd been protecting all those years, I saw a treasure box overflowing with jewels. The bearded man reappeared, this time beaming with kindness. Instead of a sword, he held a picture of my father as a child in his hand. He said, "Tell your father I ask for forgiveness. Tell him I love him." My father and I were never the same after that. Our ancestral relations strengthened, healed, and transformed us. Today, there is nothing I am not willing to see or feel. I uncover treasure after treasure. My gift to you, I am here to ask you to move towards that which terrifies you. You may think you have a fixed identity, but you don't. You are forever changing. You are designed to bump up against limitations and then to dissolve into something else. Transmutation is the key to your evolution. I come when it's time to hold nothing back, to embrace everything and to live dangerously. Release all definitions of who you are or what you're capable of. Get comfortable with fear. Willingly take the lid off of Pandora's box. If you truly want to transcend your suffering, move deeply into it. Surrender. You can make a quantum leap at any moment, and your true purpose will be revealed. All right, here's some questions for contemplation. Have you ever given up on your life? Do you sometimes feel like no matter what you do, your life won't get better? What are the fears you refuse to face or deal with? Do you feel best when you're mentally certain about something? Do you ever feel oppressed by your own mind? Is it hard to relate to people who think differently than you? And think of something that truly scares you. Move towards it with a symbolic or creative act. Reflect on a time in your life you experienced a transmutation. All right, I'm going to check in with Asa here real quickly. See what's going on here. All right, so I don't have answers yet from her, so I'm going to go on to the gate 22. We need to look at this one because this one is activated in a very big way. Two planets sitting here, Earth and Neptune. Here's our face of graciousness. She's a beautiful one. Love the eyes, love the heart at the forehead. All right, let's see what this one is about for us. 22. I'm sure this will sound familiar because I'm sure we've had occasion to read it lately. Sometime here soon or in the recent past. The shadow is dishonor. The gift is graciousness, and the highest expression is grace. And it says graciousness means that you act with grace and consideration in everything you do. I was born into a well-respected family that cared a great deal about its reputation, but beneath the veneer, there was a terrible dysfunction. When my body began to change into a beautiful woman's body, an admired family member abused me sexually. I felt too afraid and ashamed to tell anyone what was happening. Instead, I tried desperately not to feel. Whenever a forbidden feeling arose in my heart, I'd throw myself on the floor and pray that God would make me good and pious. Because I showed such unusual religious fervor for a young girl, I was sent to a secluded monastery to live a modest life of study and prayer. Relieved to be in a safe place, I gladly renounced all material things, took a vow of celibacy, and dedicated my life to selflessness. To all at the monastery, I was a proper, calm, and balanced woman and a keen listener. But on the inside, I often seethed with inappropriate feelings that I couldn't bear to accept, much less express. I distrusted my pain, rejected my beauty, hated my needs, and judged my desires. I couldn't say no to requests for support, even when I was sick. I felt disgust at even the tiniest bit of passion, anger, or sexual feelings within me. One day, during a prayer group, a sister bravely shared about an experience of having been raped as a child. In the midst of her sharing, my body was hit by a tidal wave of memories and humiliation and shame. Instead of looking up to God and praying for the feelings to go away, I buried my head in my hands and sobbed. For the first time in my life, I shared about what had happened to me. I hid nothing from anyone, not even myself. As the pain, shame, and loneliness of my past erupted out of my throat, I felt a kind of light and love descend into my chest, one I'd never experienced in all of my days of prayer. And when I opened my eyes, I was met with such love, compassion, and respect that it felt like the entire cosmos was singing. Now I regard myself as deeply as I regard others. I no longer need to hide my beauty, dishonor my boundaries, or withhold my feelings to engage graciously with the world. Here's my gift to you. I have come to tell you that there is nothing in you that is unworthy of love or of reverence. The very things you think you should hide or get rid of are exactly what need to be seen, felt, and expressed. Push nothing away. Transparency is the ultimate path toward grace. Be unwaveringly gracious towards every part of yourself, every feeling, every painful experience. By honoring all that is within you, you will experience the poetry and music of even the most agonizing moments. You will naturally find yourself being gracious towards others, touching their emotions, hearts, and souls with the milk of human kindness, and they will bloom in your presence. At your core, you are a gloriously unique manifestation of grace. Honor your suffering, and you will discover your gift to the world. And here are some questions for contemplation. Are there ways that you dishonor yourself or others? On the outside, do you appear kind, balanced, and a good listener? But inside, do you feel angry, resentful, or full of forbidden desire? Have you ever held so much inside you that you exploded? What were the consequences to yourself and those around you? Think of a part of you, a feeling or experience that you reject as bad or inappropriate. How can you embrace it? How can you bring more graciousness into your life? Well, that certainly rounds out our stories, doesn't it? Or our gates. Okay, Asa. I have to figure the order here. Asa says, Cosmic Calibri. I'm going to try to do this in order today. Cosmic Calibri card reading, your choice. All right, Cosmic. Let's see here. What do I feel? I'm feeling Mayan for you, Cosmic. The Mayan Oracle, a galactic language of light. Let's see what our Mayan friends have to say here. I didn't even have them out and ready. They just sort of popped in. I love it when that happens. All right, Cosmic. I love these cards. Ursula, best gift ever. Along with all the cards Debbie sends me. The dog pack by Leslie. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have a whole wall stacked with oracle cards before long. Okay, so today we have a number card. This is called Greater Cycles, Ciclos Más Grandes. There we have it. In the Mayan way of numbering, the bar represents 5, and each of the dots represents 1. So 5 plus 4 is 9. So we have a number 9 here for you, Cosmic. So let me get to that in the book here. Oops, I just passed right by it. That would be 10. There we go. So this is called Greater Cycles, and it says, thread of grand design in the tapestry of light on the loom of the great cycles, weave your pattern. The qualities of this number are completion, expansion, mastery, larger cycles of time, fulfillment, and grand design. And it says, 9 is the ray of greater cycles, the foundation of self, opening to the 4 points of measure and cycle. It is the grand design, the unfolding order of a larger pattern. With 9, you are being offered the embrace of longed for completion. Fulfill your pattern, your circle. Embody the mastery and wisdom you come to express. This ray asks you to be rather than try to be. Embody the wisdom of the larger cycles. Become the one who shines the light for others. You are the humanitarian whose being unfolds the larger pattern of the new earth. In the grand cycle of time, 9 is the number of completion and expansion. What is it that you are being asked to complete? Can you see the clues to this cycle of completion? As you expand, shed old patterns that do not support your growth. Receive completion's fulfillment. You are poised on an arc of a grand cycle of time. In this cycle, time and space fold, past and future merge, and lifetimes meld in completion. Join in the fulfillment of the mystery of the triple triangle by offering your mastery to be woven into the larger loom of reality. Woo! Woo, woo, woo. I love it. Okay, so that was for you, Cosmic. And let me put that over here. And let's see in, people in their comments. Human Design, Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, and Andy. Now, you know, here's might be a problem. Let's just see if I can do this because I actually, how did I do it before? I went down here. Maybe it's under neutrinos. Because I did not open that program. There we go. I didn't open that program this morning before we decided to do this. And when I'm recording, it won't let me do it. But if I go the back way, it does. So, Debbie, what is it that you want to know about your human design? I need to know some input. What is it? And let me find your chart while you decide what it is you want me to tell you. And now I'm going to share my screen so that you can see the chart. There we go, Debbie. Debbie is a projector. And why is she a projector? For those of you in my membership class or my membership, you should remember from our class on Tuesday why it is this is a chart of a projector, right? The first thing we look at is the open sacral, right? So that tells us it's manifestor or projector or reflector. Well, we see defined center, so we know it's not a reflector because it would be all white for a reflector. And the next thing we would look at, do any of these motors connect to the throat? Well, we do have the root, it's defined, but it connects to the spleen and nothing here goes up to the throat. So we have a projector. So hopefully that helps everybody there. Her ajna is connected to her throat, which is why the throat is defined. And because the ajna and throat are defined and not connected to the defined spleen and root, she has split definition, which means she requires other people in her life, Debbie, you know this as well, in order to help you get where you want to go. So when confusion develops for you, or when, you know, there's too much talk going on in your head, getting out and about, getting, even if you're just going, you know, to the local coffee stand or just taking a walk where other people would be, you're going to see that things come together for you in a new way, right? Because that's where that confusion is, the mental strain and stress isn't connected to the motor energy down lower that can help you get through it. So other people help to fill that for you. If we take a look at Debbie's chart, the gate 3 where Mars is sitting is not defined by birth. So Debbie, this is a time for you where focusing on the right timing for change to occur in your life will happen. And the gate 22 in your own natal chart is also open. So this entire channel 1222 is defined for you. This is a time for you, Debbie, to really understand that you're a channel, that you're opening up that the receiver here is picking up cosmic intelligence, cosmic information, and now it actually can move down into the body, into the emotional center. So you may be feeling information coming in through that solar plexus, emotion, right? So if you're angry, if you're upset or you're sad, it may be because you're an empath. And now that by nature, you're an empath, but now it's defined. So if you're more tempted to hold on to that emotional energy, remember you're the screen door, not the door. So allow emotional energy to flow through you. And I'm hoping that was the kind of question that you had. So we're going to leave it at that. All right. If you have any other questions, you can always let me know. Andy girl. Andy, you're going to have to give us your real name because I won't know. I won't have you down in my program as Andy girl. So Asa, can you get that for me from her? And in the meantime, so that will be three people there. I have two more astro readings, Tom Wright and Loanne. So Tom, I'm going to go over and while I'm waiting for Andy girl's real name, you're very welcome, Debbie. And in the process, let me, while I'm waiting, I'm going to go get, oops, that ain't going to help me. I need to get Tom, the Piper's son. Tom Wright. And there you are, my fellow Gemini friend. And I'm going to get a transit chart up for you. All right, so I'm going to stop sharing and then reshare because I have a feeling I went through so many screens that the program might not have kept up with me. And here we go. All right, so Tom, here is your chart. Let's look at where Mars is retrograde for you. That's going to give you the biggest idea of what it is that's changing. Ooh, we have love in the air here. 28 degrees of Aries is where your natal Venus is sitting. And of course, Mars turned direct on that degree yesterday. So there is possibly something going on with a love relationship. It could be a cooling off of that relationship or the time you need at this moment to get more comfortable with one another. The eighth house is the house of sex, as well as all of the sort of transformative energies. So assuming that if this relationship is ready to go to the next level, you're going to see the signs of that being possible. But it may also be delayed somewhat with Mars turning retrograde yesterday. Or there is more intimacy building here in this relationship. So that's the long haul for you there. You also have your natal Saturn at a degree. What else is that? Sedna and Venus. Ah, Sedna. I have not finished that book yet, but I'll bring that out to us when I finish it. 29 degrees Saturn in Capricorn, which is now going to be in a, 30, 60, 90. That is a square. So there could be some challenges to relationships for you. Maybe old patterns that are threatening to erupt. So make sure you're being very responsible and not reacting from old patterns or old ways of being, right? The old you in relationships kind of coming up for evaluation here. What can you change about the way that you are in relationships now that would be more supportive of both you and the other person and also carry you forward, right? So being very open and willing to look at the patterns that are erupting in your field right now, but very good chances here for a relationship that may just need some extra time to get a little more connection. And today's energy, remember that Venus was in a sesquiquadrate to Neptune. So this may not be a day to make big changes in a relationship. So to take one from, you know, a platonic to a sexual relationship today is probably not that day, maybe even the next day or so. But over time, establishing intimacy between you and another person is what's really favored here. So there's that. And who was the other one that wanted a reading? I think it was Loanne. Loanne, yes, Loanne. And so let's go to Loanne's chart. There she is. All right, so are you guys seeing Loanne's chart? Did the chart change? Asa, Andrea, yes. Okay, so Andy, I will go back to get your human design here shortly. So Loanne, are you guys seeing your chart? Asa, can you tell me real quick if you guys are seeing the chart, did it change? Does it say Loanne up here for you guys? If it does, then we're good to go. I'm waiting for her to tell me. In the process here, let me just get oriented to this chart now. And sixth and seventh house. All right. Why? Why do you want to look at the sixth and seventh house, Loanne? Because nothing's happening there. Nothing's happening there. And yes, you can see the chart. Awesome. Thank you. So there's nothing transiting through your sixth house except for the white moon, Selene, or Selena. And what she's doing is highlighting possibly even a new person in your life that may be helping you to heal. Maybe it's a new healer. Maybe a new person coming in that is going to help you find the right work at the right time. But she's a subtle influence, right? This is where the light is shining for you right now. Your natal Selene is in Gemini. So maybe being able to communicate more fully with yourself or with a healer, what is going on with your body. So that's an opportunity for you. The seventh house has the south node flowing through it right now. And that is the seat of your galactic center. The seventh house, south node, sometimes, now this is kind of a coinkydink, sometimes the south node moving through a relationship house like the seventh or the fifth house even can bring back old flames, right? Old love interests or people that have, you know, faded from your view are back in your view, or a new person that kind of reminds you of somebody from the past. So being aware not to apply the past to your current relationships, and also remembering that, you know, the South Node holds the gifts, the talents, and experiences that need to be used in the North Node, right? So the North Node over here in Gemini, in your first house, really strengthening yourself, not giving away your power to other people, not being a people pleaser. This is really maybe reminding you to please yourself first, and then other people will be attracted to you because you are so confident and happy in your own life. So hopefully that is what you meant by that. If you are experiencing any illnesses right now, you do have a packed sixth house. So that concerns me a bit. Mercury, Pallas Athena, Venus, Ceres, Neptune, and the part of fortune. So, and most of those in the sign of Scorpio, which could be reproductive issues or the reproductive organs having an issue or the elimination system. So it would behoove you at this point in time, perhaps, to take a look at what you're holding on to. What can you eliminate, right? Elimination. It's the sign that rules the elimination system in the body. So what can you leave behind? Where is the baggage? Likely it could be the baggage that holds some of the energy in the body for you. So let go of the baggage. If it is a focus in your workplace, because the sixth house does rule the place you work and your colleagues, there can be some good things happening there. Maybe a new work environment, all those kind of things coming up to the surface because we're looking at Mars so intently. Mars is in the game over here in Aries, right at the cusp of your 11th and 12th house. So there's likely some things maybe triggered for you that came up from the unconscious mind, the subconscious. Uranus is transiting through there. So likely maybe some abundance issues, some scarcity issues, lack issues popping up. Then Mercury or Mars turning retrograde now causes you to go back to the 11th house of what are my hopes and my dreams, right? What am I aspiring to? Can I align myself with that instead of the chatter in my mind saying, oh, you know, I don't get what I want, or I'm not getting what I need, or all those other things that happen in our minds. So Loanne, I hope that answers whatever question you had specifically. If not, maybe it's time for you to get a complete reading. All right. And let's see here. That was 1, 2. Andy girl, what was it you wanted? Human design. So let me pull that up real quickly. She will be the last one I'm doing today. For the rest of you that had not gotten something, Ursula, Christine Buckingham. Well, Ursula, we have a forum next week, Friday. So you can bring any questions you have there if you would like, especially about human design. I love doing that. And let's see here, Andrea Quimbaya, is that how you say your last name? Sorry if I butchered it. Sometimes I try to avoid saying names just so I won't butcher them, but Quimbaya, there we go, Andrea. Okay, Andrea, let me see if I can share my screen here now so that you see your chart. Andrea, on the other hand, is a manifesting generator here in the world with lots of energy, lots of ability to multitask and do many types of things at one time, hopscotching around from one activity to the other, managing, you know, juggling, and being able to still make progress in your life because you work quickly, you can skip steps, and you just like that fast pace of life. You have your sacral motor connected directly to the throat through what is called the archetype of the manifesting generator. So that means the energy of doing connects immediately to manifesting. However, there's a caveat here, right? You can't just decide to do and then act on it. Even though it looks like it, you have the energy to do it, but this could cause you to keep jumping into things and then jumping back out of things and jumping back into things. You have to still use your strategy for your type, which is to respond to what is showing up in your outer world. You can't just have a meditation moment, an aha moment in your mind without something that matches in that outer world. Because if you take action from up here, then it's likely it could be the wrong thing, the wrong timing, the wrong people, the wrong opportunity. And now you're caught up in it, right? You've said yes, and now you're in it, but maybe you need to flake out and you'll back out. So it can be this constant leaping in, leaping out, busy, busy, busy. But what am I busy, busy, busy doing? Am I doing anything of meaning? So make sure that when you do take action, that it's because something in your outer world showed up. Then slow it down just a titch more because you have emotional definition here. So the solar plexus is your final authority, and the solar plexus needs clarity over time before it acts on the big things, right? So if you're going to jump into a job, jump out of a job, get into a relationship, jump out of a relationship, relocate, change, buy a house or buy something else that's of major expense, you need to wait, right? That's hard for manifesting generators. They just want to go, go, go. But if you wait, then the right opportunities are what's left in your field. And then you find yourself being successful, right? And one last thing for you is that manifesting generators are kind of a hybrid of manifestors and generators. So you definitely have the generator strategy, but you also have partially the manifestor strategy of informing. And informing means before you take action on something that maybe you're changing direction, that you inform the people that are going to be affected by your decision, or else you're going to meet with lots of resistance, right? Lots of resistance out there. So let's say as a mom, because I think I remember you have children, let's say you're going to decide that for the next week, you're not going to watch television. Before you ever just say, tonight, we're not watching TV and we're not watching TV for a week, say to the kids, hey, I think it might be a good idea. The weather's nice. We're going to, instead of watching TV next week after dinner, we're going to go for walks in the park. Allowing them to know that ahead of time is priceless. Now they may still groan inwardly, but they're not going to be as petulant about it, perhaps, because they've been informed before you take action. So that's a quick synopsis of how it is that you make decisions that are good for you, and know that you have intense energy to just keep doing, 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 being busy, 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 but not really being busy in anything that has any meaning. So make sure you choose wisely what you get involved with based on what is showing up in your outer world, right? And then waiting a little bit longer just for the emotions to catch up. What feels good to you, right? And you ask the question, does this make me happy? Does this make me feel good? Is this right for me? Those kinds of questions will help you be aimed in the right direction. All right, hopefully that helps. All right, stopping sharing now. And that was our five for the day. I really must be going. I have a meeting in 15 minutes. So yay me. Thank you so much for being here with me today. And if you guys have any questions or anything, please email them to me, or you can comment underneath the video on YouTube, and I look at that. Please hit the thumbs up if you enjoyed the video. Subscribe if you have not done so already. I'm like 10 away from 500, right? I just need 10 of you to get us to 500. Maybe we'll do something special that day that I reach 500. All right. Take care, everybody, and many blessings.